You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good afternoon.
Bears fans, this is Take the North with your hosts, David Haw and Dan Weider.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Welcome to the Take the North podcast. I'm David Haw from the Mully and Haw Show on 670 The Score. Dan Weider is from the Chicago Tribune covering the Bears. And we are here talking still about the NFL Draft 2024. The Bears, I think, arguably had as good of a draft and has had as good of an offseason as any team in the NFL. Dan, I said that on the Mully and Haw Show on Tuesday morning. I don't know, as we get ready to listen and hear from some comments that over the draft weekend still, I don't know if there's a team in the league that you can say had any better of an offseason or changed their direction any more than the Bears. What do you think?
I think the way you phrased it there at the end is absolutely accurate. Change their direction, you know, and it just feels like an arrow that was pointed slightly up is now steeper and pointing higher up the mountain with the chance to get to places that we haven't been in a little while. An ideal world, we're going to be talking about the 2024 draft in Chicago for 15 years and talking about how this was the weekend where it all changed, combined with the moves that Ryan Poles and his staff made leading up to make this all connect in a way where the puzzle pieces all fit and align and the Bears can start to dream about things that they haven't dreamed about in a while. Mel Kiper Jr., renowned draft analyst on ESPN, gave the Bears a B for their draft efforts and then amended that on a draft special on, I think it was Monday night, and said it was a B+, that his original grade came when he was a little bit hungry and tired. And he kind of graded them down because the picks in the top 10 were just obvious and that you and I could have made them. But that doesn't diminish what happened here. And that's the Bears adding an absolute difference-making quarterback, and then a fun, shiny new toy in Roma Dunze to pair with Caleb Williams.
We talked about that a little bit when we had Dave Wanstead as a guest, and one of the things that we kept going back and forth, and it's something that will evolve, but you know, it's really hard for a defensive head coach with a defense that has high aspirations to be a top 10 or top 5 defense to go into the season and wonder, well, is this going to be an offensive football team that scores 28 points a game with a strong defense, or is this going to be a football team that has a strong defense and an offense that scores 28 points a game? The identity of the team kind of remains to be determined, and that's really the first time in a long time you can say that's the good news. Before, it was all too obvious. Either you had weak defense, a weak offense, yeah. Which line was worse? This time, it's a little bit different heading into this offseason or this season.
Well, there's two things I like about that. Number one is that if it is working the way it's supposed to work and there's cohesion between the two units, well, now all of a sudden you can get a lot more done during OTAs and minicamp and training camp, where you have that competitiveness between the two sides of the ball where they do feel like they're more on equal footing than we've seen in a long time. And that can really bring a lot out of each individual and each unit when you're going back and forth on that. The other part of this, David, is when you look at this Bears offense on paper, you can't stop imagining how entertaining it has the possibility to be. And it's been so long since we've been ready to be entertained in this way. Listen, Justin Fields was a highlight reel clip waiting to happen periodically during his time as Bears quarterback because of his running ability as a quarterback. But we haven't seen an offense this well-rounded and this complete probably since 2013 when they were setting franchise marks for yardage. And you were right alongside me in the press box of all those games with, you know, Jay and Forte and Marshall and Bennett and Jeffrey and everybody else that they brought to the table with that group, a good offensive line in front of them. And this looks like we're headed down that path again of having an offense that every single week you're looking forward to watching.
People forget that team, because it finished, I think, 8-8, that team was as good offensively as it was and had the kind of talent. We can compare during another pod because it is very interesting and easy to forget. What I think is interesting about now is obviously the chemistry that we're going to see to begin to develop between Caleb Williams and his receiving core. He already has some with Rome Odunze.
Yeah.
You think that DJ Moore and Keenan Allen, will see how that develops. But already this week, after the hoopla in Chicago, when Caleb took the Caleb claw and went to the Lakers game on Saturday night, he was working out with DJ Moore in L.A. on Monday at the USC practice facility. It seemed like there was photographic evidence of the two working out. I think there even is audio of an interview with DJ Moore, who talked about the anticipation skills that Caleb Williams had shown. That's only going to get better. I wonder what your reaction is to some of those things and how – it has changed so much to where we know what these guys are doing almost all the time.
My first reaction is there was so much hand-wringing in certain pockets of the fan base in January, February, March about how anyone in the Bears locker room was possibly going to be able to move on past the exit of Justin Fields. Already you've got Justin's best friend in the offense, his most reliable receiver, DJ Moore, creating the same connection with his new quarterback and Caleb Williams and finding ways to appreciate the skills of the new quarterback and figure out what it's going to mean for the Bears offense. I think it's become pretty obvious that this is going to be one of the most smooth transitions that maybe we've ever experienced here in this city because of what Caleb Williams brings to the table, because of what he can bring out of the guys around him. And if DJ Moore is a voice for that, then DJ Moore is going to be the first of many voices of that in the weeks ahead.
We also heard from Jalen Johnson on The Score on Monday afternoon, kind of walking back a little bit or explaining in fuller context what he meant when he said that don't bring the Hollywood into the locker room. I think that was maybe much ado about nothing. He said he was out of context, and he said that he'd had a conversation with Caleb Williams. What I thought was interesting about Jalen Johnson explaining again how somebody took him out of context was that Caleb Williams actually exchanged texts with Jalen Johnson. What we were finding out about Caleb Williams is that he is the consummate communicator. He texted almost every draft pick after they were picked following him. He was with Rome Odunze when that happened. He's exchanging texts with Jalen Johnson, who is a future teammate, probably, I would think this happened before the draft, and he's connected enough with Keenan Allen and DJ Moore to have throwing sessions. So this is somebody who is plugged in, locked in, and not hard to find.
One of the things I learned from my time covering the back half of the Jay Cutler era and talking to people that played with him is how important it is in that position to be the hub of energy in a locker room. Jay didn't have any interest in being that. Jay didn't have supreme interest in trying to connect with everybody in the locker room. He did make connections with certain guys, and certainly the further he got into his Bears tenure, the more friendships he had in the locker room and his ability to relate increased. But I think you're seeing from day one that Caleb Williams understands that part of the responsibility and that part of the job description, that you have to be the hub of energy, the heartbeat of an entire football team. And that comes with being a communicator. That comes with being a guy that is making efforts at all times to be on the same page with his teammates. The fact that we talked the other day about him reaching out to all the guys in his draft class after they got picked, it's a impressive show of ownership of his duties right away. Now we learn that he was communicating with Jalen Johnson and trying to give him just a little bit more clarity on what he's about. And if you talk to Caleb enough, he'll tell you he's all about ball. He's all about bringing his teammates along. He's all about winning, and everything else is sort of the spokes off the hub of the wheel on that. And so truly valuable skills to have in that position. The greatest gifts you're going to need to have are the ability to make throws from the pocket, the ability to make plays off script. Caleb's got all that, but from the intangible standpoint, it's really clear early on that he is in full ownership of what this job and this duty commands.
There's some good stuff out there to read if everybody wants to take a deep dive into who Caleb Williams is. Colleen Kane, our colleague at the Tribune, had a great piece over the weekend. It still can be found at chicagotribune.com. I thought Courtney Cronin did a terrific job on ESPN.com of talking to different people, just anecdotal evidence to get to know a little bit more about Caleb's personality, the fact that he talked his way into the 6 a.m. club at Oklahoma with Spencer Rattler because that's what he wanted to do and that's the standard he wanted to be a part of. Was very interesting.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
All-star closer Kenley Jansen, we have a question.
What's the best podcast of all time?
Baseball isn't boring, baby.
I'm Rob Bradford, and every single day I'm sitting down with the biggest names to show you this great game is the greatest game. It's my podcast. It's my passion. It's a cause I started more than 2 years ago and is now the most prolific national daily baseball pod there is. Another fact, so jump aboard the BIB Express. Follow and listen to Baseball Isn't Boring, presented by Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
And Dan, you had some good conversations over draft week and with a lot of people, beginning with Joel Klatt, the Fox analyst who does a terrific job in the booth. And he obviously would know Caleb Williams pretty well.
Yeah. So a week ago, obviously we played here on our podcast, the entire audio of Caleb Williams' interview session from the Play 60 charity event, or community event that they did in Detroit, the day before the draft, and the NFL Network draft analysts were there. Joel Klatt was among them. And so I had a chance to visit with him after that session just to try to get a greater feel for why he was so effusive with his praise of who Caleb Williams is as a quarterback from a skill standpoint. And so had a couple questions I wanted to ask him about the comprehensive package of skills that Caleb brings to the table and about what his greatest gifts are. And here's what Joel Klatt had to say on those two fronts.
About Caleb Williams and the number of different quarterback gifts he has, how do you kind of summarize the entire package that he's bringing to the next level?
It's a good question. I think the only way to evaluate him is in totality. And here's what I mean by that. When I'm evaluating a quarterback, I'm going to look at, you know, how does he do with the schematics of the game? You know, does he understand the game? Does he have the arm talent? You know, what is his arm talent? How does he do manipulating the game from the pocket? Can he control the game from the pocket? Can he create outside of it? And then is he a threat with his legs? So basically five categories on the field. And you can argue there's more, but those are really the five, and everything can kind of fit within that. Caleb's the only guy, I've been doing this now for a little over 10 years, evaluating for the draft, and he's the only quarterback that I've evaluated that is elite in all five of the categories. And that's why for 2 years we've been talking about him as the number one quarterback prospect. And that's why, regardless of how he played this last season with, I would say, an inferior team around him, I still have him as that number one guy.
How do you describe the creativity piece and how special that is for him?
So every quarterback has to have a superpower, at least to be at this point in the draft, right? Considered for the number one pick. And his superpower, his best trait, is his ability to not just be effective, but really hurt the defense when he's creating. Not when he's running, but when he's creating. His ability to throw with accuracy, power, leverage, touch. He can drive the ball all on the run, off of his platform. It's almost like, as a defensive coordinator, okay, he's in the pocket, we're okay, you know, okay. Now when he's outside of the pocket, just hold your breath, because that's when he's really going to hurt the defense.
Interesting stuff. I think that I'm curious what you think in talking to him further. Caleb Williams is pretty effective running the football. I don't imagine him being a guy who's going to be looking to do that very often. And that's just not the way you stay healthy with a quarterback with his skill set. And it certainly isn't his best skill.
Right.
So he can do it, but I don't think he has to often.
Right. And so, David, with that, this is where those Mahomes comparisons are relevant, because Patrick Mahomes is not going to get on a track block with Justin Fields and beat him in a foot race. Right. And yet we've seen Patrick Mahomes over the course of his career be a terrific scrambler and pick up hidden yardage every single game, in part because of the way he manipulates the game with his eyes and his arm on the move. And defenses are so weary of him making that big play, eyes down the field, on the move throw, that all of a sudden he carves out 12 to 14 yards for himself, scampers down the sideline and gets himself a first down. And so Caleb Williams's priority is not running the football, but he can do it very effectively when he has to. I think what you heard from Joel Klatt there also is that superpower being that on the move, eyes up, arm talent, the ability to throw, as he said, with accuracy, with power, with leverage, with touch, to drive the ball while using different arm angles and being off platform and out of structure. It's just, it's special. And so you combine those things and you understand why, you know, I said this earlier this week on 670 The Score, that Caleb Williams walks into his first practice at Hallis Hall as the most gifted quarterback to ever wear a Bears jersey. And you heard from Joel Klatt there why, because there is a wide array of skills that are necessary to play the quarterback at a high level. And Joel Klatt rates him as elite in five key categories of the position. I don't know what else you need to know.
What else did Lincoln Riley have to say? Because he spoke to the Bears media via Zoom the day after they were drafted, Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze. And obviously Lincoln Riley's an instrumental person in Caleb's career, and spoke glowingly, as you might expect.
Lincoln's one of these guys that I wish we could get on the podcast and talk to for 2.5 hours, because he's very insightful. He's got a lot to share. He talks in a way that's very direct and descriptive. And so we were able to cover a lot of ground with him on, as you mentioned, Friday, the day after the draft. One of the first questions I asked him is, Caleb's talked a lot about his experience coming into Oklahoma. You mentioned it just a few minutes ago, David, that he talked his way into the 6 a.m. workout group with Spencer Rattler. You got to remember, Spencer Rattler went into Caleb Williams' true freshman season as a guy expected to be a Heisman front runner. for the Sooners. He was a guy that was expecting to be a first-round draft pick in the NFL draft, and Caleb Williams walked onto campus and said, I want to beat him out for the job from the minute he got there. Well, with that came some what I referred to as competitive restlessness with Caleb kind of harassing Lincoln Riley and their pass game coordinator, Dennis Simmons, and anyone who would give him an open ear on, like, what do I have to do to take this job from him? He thought he had won it in the spring. He went into the fall. He had to play the QB2 role for a month and a half before he finally claimed that job. And there was a lot to negotiate for Caleb emotionally and mentally during that process. Here's some of what Lincoln Riley had to say on that.
He's talked a little bit in the last few months about his early days at Oklahoma and kind of working through being a backup at the start of his career. I was curious how you kind of helped him navigate that competitive restlessness and try to keep that where you wanted it and where he needed it to be.
Yeah, I thought he handled it well. He was eager, like a lot of young guys were. He was excited to learn, excited to play. I mean, eager is probably the best word that I could use to describe him. He was constantly in the facility, really working hard to learn the things that he knew he needed to do to be able to compete. I think some of it in the beginning was just keeping at times his morale up a little bit in the beginning when you don't know the offense as well as maybe you're going to. You know, you don't feel like you're able to do everything on the field that you want to do because you're still in that learning phase. And I think just for him creating an understanding that there was going to be a process to it, and you want, it's a fine line, right? It's a balance between the fire to want to compete and knowing that you're good enough to do it and the confidence with also having an understanding that it is going to take some time. There is going to be some ups and downs. There is going to be a learning curve no matter who you are. And so I think the biggest thing for me was helping him find that balance because I didn't want to extinguish the competitive fire that he has. Like, I think that would have been the biggest mistake. And so we tried to find a fine line. I thought he made a big jump from spring that year into like our fall camp. He really took the information from that first time together in spring football, did a lot of great work in the off season, and certainly came back that fall a much improved player.
So, David, that's an experience, right, that Caleb Williams should be able to lean on as he gets into the NFL. Now, he doesn't have to win a job in Chicago, as you know, but I think what Lincoln talks about there with the ability to balance the competitive fire and that competitive confidence with an understanding that there is going to be a process and that it is going to take time is something that Caleb's probably going to have to realize on a different level here in the NFL. And so hopefully that experience at Oklahoma will help him.
It also provides a reference point for him in that no matter how supremely confident he seems right now, because this is a young man in his element. He's a celebrity quarterback. He can handle LA and Chicago even better because it's not Hollywood. But I think that you sense that confidence and that it's infectious enthusiasm and confidence, but he's going to struggle. And there's going to be a time where he might have a crisis of confidence. Rarely do you see a young player, no matter how gifted he is, avoid that. So I think at least what we heard there is that he's been through it before, and he did, no matter, you know, how well he did to make the adjustment to Oklahoma from high school, there was that phase where he wasn't as confident in himself. And now that, you know, at least he has a reference point, like, okay, I did this is similar, this feels familiar, everything's going to be okay because I did this once before.
Another reference point, obviously, is last season, because you mentioned struggle, and Caleb struggled last season. It's the first time he had ever been part of a losing skid like USC went through late in the year, where they went from 6-0 to 7-5. And all of a sudden, you have to learn to live in that space where your team is failing, where your own play isn't good enough, where you're not the Heisman Trophy frontrunner anymore. In fact, you don't even finish in the top 10 a year after you won the award. And Caleb talked, I thought, with great introspection and maturity after the year about trying to navigate those waters, and he called it one of his most important seasons in football. And I know there's people at Hallis Hall that, again, as we've talked about previously on this podcast, that are secretly glad that Caleb Williams went through that, because those types of struggles and those types of seasons are going to occur during an NFL career, and you have to kind of figure out a way to handle it. And so Caleb's talked a lot about how Lincoln Riley was one of the people that helped him through the process of, as he said at the combine, understanding the energy and the feelings that I was feeling during the struggles. And so I followed up with Lincoln Riley on that topic with the obvious hope that he would have insight on what that was all about.
He also credited you last fall, October and November, for helping him navigate the losing, and said that you were helpful in getting him to understand the energy and the feelings he was feeling. What did you try to convey there as he was dealing with that level of struggle for the first time in his life?
Yeah, we were both dealing with it. I told him, listen, like it's gonna be good for him in the long run, right? Like you put up his career to that point, you know, won state championship in high school. You know, we won a bunch of games his first year at Oklahoma. We won a bunch of games our first year at USC. He hadn't really been through something like this, and certainly on this big of a stage. And the stage is certainly just going to continue to grow as he transitions to the NFL. And I just said, look, part of your ability to lead a team and become the player that you're going to become is going to be your ability to handle failure. And sometimes you got to go through it. Like you got to struggle a little bit at some point and build up some scar tissue to get you ready for what's coming. And that's, and so you're going to, you know, how you handle this is going to be maybe even more important than how you handle any of the success or the other things that have come your way up to this point. And so, you know, the thing for him has always been, and I've always respected, when you challenge him and when you can put something to him that makes it a challenge, like, no, listen, you need to do this to become the player you want to be. And the other guys that you look up to, when they got in situations like this, they found a way to turn it into a positive. So if they can do it, why can't you? And he tends to take challenges like that and run with them.
Dan, who do you think the coach on the Bears staff is most equipped? And even though we don't know these guys really yet, but who do you think is most equipped to play that role and challenge Caleb Williams?
I don't know. That's a great question. And I think you're right. We're still getting to know what that infrastructure is going to look like around him. I think the one that would be the most appropriate would be Shane Waldron, because you'd want your play caller to be somebody that has that connection and that relationship to really give that push to apply that challenge that Lincoln Riley's talking about there. I don't know if it'll be him, if it'll be Kerry Joseph, their quarterback's coach, if Thomas Brown, the pass game coordinator, has got that ability to apply that pressure. But somebody's got to do it. And I thought that was like almost like a little tip sheet that Lincoln Riley was giving the Bears coaching staff there. I'm like, look, right, like if you want to know what makes him tick, challenge makes him tick. And so if he's struggling or if he's trying to find some extra motivation, find a challenge, manufacture a challenge and present it to them that way, and then you're going to get something out of them.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights.
History. Win. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
but he's got to respect the person issuing that challenge and that coach and that's what we don't know.
Right, David. And I think that's important because look, like he picked Lincoln Riley twice, right? Coming out of high school and then in the transfer portal, he picked Lincoln Riley twice. He didn't pick the Bears. The Bears picked him. And so now they've got to find a way to create that connection with him. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think that's the hard part to know because we know he's easy to respect and he's going to blend in and certainly he's going to respect the veteran players, but you just still the only thing left kind of in the intangible part is like how will he mesh with people telling him what play to run, what his mechanics are like, who's going to be the coach in his ear most of the time. That remains to be seen. Nobody can answer that because we just don't know about that personal dynamic.
No, and it'll be interesting. And I look like the other part of this that we've learned over time is Caleb's got a team around him already. You know, it's parents first and foremost, it's mentors, it's a group of people that he really trusts, and they're gonna have to be part of this process. I know inside the building at House Hall, they've talked about just trying to create a little bit of integration and union between the team they've got assembled inside the walls of 1920 Football Drive and the team that Caleb comes pre-assembled with into the NFL and making sure that everybody's kind of, you know, working together as opposed to pulling in different directions. Along with that, you know, Lincoln Riley talked a little bit about how this has been something that's been on Caleb Williams's radar for more than a decade. Since he was 10, 11, 12 years old, he started climbing the ranks and setting very intentional high goals and pursuing them with a real laser focus and a drive to go attack them. I think there's something about that approach that resonates with people. It certainly resonated with people at Oklahoma, the people at USC, and Lincoln Riley. Here's what Lincoln had to say on that topic.
You know, every step of theirs has been very intentional, very well thought out. I think just his hunger to continue to improve, to want feedback, to want criticism, like he craves that. I don't know that I've had any player that I've coached that came up to me more and just wanted to like sit down and talk about like how he could get better outside of just, you know, your normal, you know, position meetings and all that. I mean, we were together, you know, all the time. But he just always wanted to be talking about that and always kind of wanted more. Jalen was in some ways the same way. In that regard. But yeah, I think his hunger to want feedback and to want to improve and to want to be challenged was as good as anybody I've coached.
That's Jalen Hurts that he's referring to there. But again, that's another tip sheet. I thought David wants feedback, wants criticism, wants to pursue improvement. It reminds me of some of the things that Ryan Poles talked about when he got on the job. And then he got alongside Kevin Warren, somebody that can provide the feedback and the criticism and the direction for improvement. This is all part of a new look House Hall. But certainly, again, I think there's tips in there for Matt Eberflus, Shane Waldron, Thomas Brown, and the rest of the group to know how to push the right buttons here.
Well, I'll say this. I mean, to be compared, or at least to the Jalen Hurts comparison, is very interesting because of not the style of the quarterback, but the approach and the competitiveness or the makeup. That's as high of I think of a compliment as you can get coming from Lincoln Riley, who's coached some extraordinary quarterbacks, some great competitors too. Jalen Hurts at the top of that list. So that is interesting. Also, it's worth noting that all the talk about the team surrounding Caleb and his long-term goals that he set for himself kind of in concert with his family. It's now midweek roughly or Tuesday following the draft. I don't recall seeing or hearing Carl Williams quoted anywhere in terms of the father who was supposedly the most controversial figure in this pre-draft process. But I don't think he has inserted himself into the equation unless I missed something.
No, it's a good observation, and I think that's also intentional. You know, I think after the GQ article that caused a little bit of a flare-up of attention and a flare-up of speculation a year plus ago, that there's been an intentional effort to just kind of manage things a little bit more closely and to let Caleb have his voice be the voice that speaks for Caleb. And credit to him for having the maturity to push for that. You know, and I do think that's significant here as we go forward.
And the, so in terms of the goal setting, he also, just with the last clip we'll hear from Lincoln Riley, has to do with how this is something that basically is a habit of Caleb Williams. It becomes habit forming, setting the goals. And what was the context of what we're
going to look like? Caleb's talked very loudly and out loud about becoming immortal, about wanting to be a legend of the sport, be a legend of the position, about getting there by winning championships, by understanding that the standard at the position is Tom Brady, who's won 7 Super Bowl rings, Patrick Mahomes, you know, on his way to challenging that. Caleb knows where the mountaintop is, and he's not shy about saying, I want to get there someday. Now, look, there's a long, steep climb to get there, but I do think it's notable, as we played in our last couple episodes, that to that response to the Herb Howard question, what's the reason to duck, right? Like, he is fearless about this climb. He's not looking over his shoulder. He's not worrying about the avalanche that might hit him. He sees the top of the mountain, and he's going after that. Lincoln Riley talked about the importance of not only having those goals, but speaking them out loud and what that means to Caleb's wiring.
Yeah, I think he's not scared for greatness. You know, he's not scared to put it out there. He's not scared to be himself. And I think you have to have that belief in yourself. You have to have that belief in the people around you. And it's contagious. It is. When a leader or a quarterback feels that way about his team and about what they're trying to accomplish, I think it energizes the entire group. And you know, especially, you know, I would really point towards, because there's probably, you know, in some ways a lot of parallels, you know, coming into USC where you've got a, you know, an all-time iconic place that's been a little bit down and you're trying to bring it back. And obviously there's a lot of parallels with what he's getting ready to come up there and do in Chicago. And I, to have that jolt of confidence and excitement in the beginning to help get it off the ground, I think is a key part. And he certainly has the inner belief to get that done.
I think that's a great point. First of all, Lincoln Riley's outstanding. You're right.
Yeah,
the more he talks, the more you want to hear him. But, you know, Caleb Williams has been in a similar situation before. USC maybe not struggled to the extent that the Bears have struggled over the last several years, but a time in college football, kind of down. He goes in there. He wins the Heisman Trophy. He has been part of a revival process of a very – traditional stately organization. And heck, even the Coliseum and Soldier Field have some similarities.
You know, they're old and outdated, right?
Well, yeah, they're old and outdated, and they're historic kind of venues. And you look at him coming into modernizing USC and bringing it back. And so didn't end well last year, but he did win the Heisman, and he kind of revived the program, helped do that. And then with the Bears, it is similar. It's just interesting to hear these coaches who have these athletes in college for whatever period of time they have them. You know, Lincoln Riley here on the morning show, we talked to Lance Leipold, who coached Austin Booker at Kansas. Kalen DeBoer was on the afternoon show, Parkins and Spiegel on the Score, talking about Roma Dunze at Washington, Kalen DeBoer now at Alabama. And just to hear them speak of these guys the way that they do, almost in a paternal fashion, but also in a way that helps you understand how competitive these great athletes are and what the Bears are getting. And I go back to this, Dan, I think that, you know, Ryan Poles, besides loading up with just real talented football players, it's intentional, the kind of characters that he's putting together too on this roster and in that locker room. And I think you're hearing that, whether that's talking about these guys or hearing from them directly.
Yeah, no, that latter part is no coincidence. It's not by accident that they're going after a certain profile of competitor, I guess, and a certain profile of team first driven guy. And certainly Caleb and Adunze fit that to a T. I think it's also really interesting, as we hear from Lincoln there, talking about kind of the manual on how to help Caleb Williams along, the troubleshooting guide on how to, you know, fix things when they start to go a little astray. It's important that the Bears understand that they didn't just bring Caleb Williams into Hallis Hall. It's their job and their responsibility now to press all the right buttons during his rookie season, during his second season, during every phase of the journey that they go on, which you and I and everyone else in Chicago hopes lasts deep into the 2030s. You know, and so setting this thing up for success long-term and short-term is critically important. And understanding, you know, part of the homework process from January through April of learning Caleb Williams' wiring wasn't just about checking the box that says, yes, we'll draft you. It's compiling knowledge and wisdom so that you can help him be at his best after the draft, you know, through May, through June, through July, into the regular season. And so that part of this process, I think, is going to be fascinating to watch because, as you said, we don't know a lot about the people that are going to be overseeing his development early on. We know Ryan. We know Matt Eberflus. We don't know a lot about Shane Waldron. We don't know a lot about Thomas Brown. We don't know a lot about Kerry Joseph. All those people are going to have a hand in pushing the buttons that make Caleb Williams go, and we'll see how much they can make him go.
Who will we hear from later in the week in our next pod, Dan? Who do you expect to who are we waiting to hear from still?
There's some stuff from Daniel Jeremiah that's really good, and he has been well established on record since January talking about Rome Odunze as his favorite player in the draft. I did talk to him the day before the draft and said, given how you rate Caleb and given that Rome is the, you know, your favorite player in the draft, how would you feel if the Bears woke up on Friday morning with both of them? And he just said, sheesh, you know, like that would be a milestone day in Chicago. So some fun stuff from him on Rome Odunze. And look, like it's really cool to watch this thing progress now, because you're starting to learn from a lot of different outlets about all these guys. I know that I, in my personal Twitter account, have been hitting the bookmark feed or icon a lot, because there's so much content out there and you're like, oh man, I really want to read this. Oh man, I really want to listen to this. I don't have time now. And so I've got 25 things in my bookmark feed that I want to get back to, because the volume of content on the Bears right now is higher than I ever remember it, because they're so nationally relevant at this point.
It's the price of relevance, really. Yeah, that is. So we'll hear from Daniel Jeremiah. We'll hear from some other people, and we'll have our own conversation. So two last things before we get out of here. Number one, just give us an idea of what the schedule is with the, if there's a rookie mini camp, when Caleb Williams will actually throw a pass in his number 18 Bears uniform. And secondly, Brad Biggs had a report that Sam Somerville, a longtime respected scout, is parting company with the Bears. Anything you know about that?
Yeah, Sam Somerville and Drew Racina, two of the scouts that the Bears had in the building. Sam, longtime Bears. Yep. Be really interested to know a little bit more about that departure. But he was, I remember speaking to him at length, because he was the guy who kind of turned the previous regime onto Tariq Cohen for the 2017 draft and said, this is my favorite player in a long time. And Tariq Cohen obviously came here and did some all pro things before injuries derailed his career. So tough to see him go. As far as rookie minicamp, May 11th and 12th, it's a week from Friday and Saturday, 2 days of rookie minicamp out there. I would imagine it will be heavily attended by the media, both locally and nationally, to see Caleb Williams in that orange practice jersey, slinging around for the first time, Rome Odunze on the other end of some of those passes. And then the week following that, they'll get into that full team, voluntary, organized team activity part of the program. You'd imagine a lot of these guys, given the excitement that's been building up, will be in attendance, voluntary or not, to take part in what seems to be a very exciting transition for the Chicago Bears. No, by the way, David, a week from now, we've got the schedule coming out. I think a week from Thursday, the 2024 schedule will be released. So if you were looking for your next huge NFL holiday, they usually don't wait long before they give you another one.
I think May 9th is what the date is scheduled to come out. The schedule's what order they're going to play. And my guess is, we'll talk about it more, the Bears are going to be probably on primetime 5 or 6 times.
Yeah, that's my guess. I said a minimum of 5 and maybe 6. You look at, like, there's two things for me that stand out, and I'm starting to dummy up a little fun thing for the Tribune about how I would put the schedule together if I was just being selfish and wanted the Bears schedule to look really fun. Let's not overcomplicate it. Let's have week one be Sunday night primetime against the Packers, right? Let's throw Caleb in front of a juiced up Soldier Field crowd, in front of a very intrigued national audience against the rivals, and see if he can break that 10-game losing streak against the Packers. And then at some point, if I'm the schedule makers, I'm putting Caleb Williams versus CJ Stroud on primetime as well. I'm finding a Sunday night that works for both teams and slotting that in there for primetime, because if you're trying to sell your national audience on two of the young stars in this game, what better opportunity than that? Yes, the Texans and Bears will meet in the Hall of Fame game first in Canton, Ohio, but we all know that Caleb Williams and CJ Stroud may do nothing more than warm up at that event before they turn it over to some other people to handle that game.
April is over, and it will go down as one of the most significant months of this regime. And who knows what else we'll remember it for one day if things go according to plan. All right, that wraps things up. We will be back later in the week with more of what we talked about, and more certainly as it develops We'll keep you posted here on the Take the North podcast. You can catch us on YouTube on the Scores YouTube page. You can watch us there. You can listen to us on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And we'll be back later in the week. So for Adam Sadinski, our producer, for Dan Wiederer from the Chicago Tribune, I'm David Haugh. Thank you for listening to the Take the North podcast.
Great talk. See you out there.